I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have a Bible with you. Could you please turn to 1 Peter? Let me read to you this passage. 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 1 to verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 9. Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, according to their foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believe, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. May the Lord bless this reading of his holy word. This morning I quickly glanced at the newspaper, and then this article, this report, catches my eye. Article about people being interviewed and being asked, happy people, and what is the secret of their happiness. And so there was an interviewer of a couple of them, and this an old man, 63 years old. Why are you so happy? And the man said, erase the memory, forget all, don't think of all the bad things, just don't think of that. And then he said, and that's how I'm happy. Don't think of the bad things, only think of the good things, I'm happy. And then another lady was asked, why are you happy, you're always smiling? He said, I'm happy because I can make people to laugh. If people are very sad, if I somehow have the ability, or I can make them laugh. And when I make them laugh, when they are sad, I am happy. So in other words, she goes around and see when people are sad, she tries to make them happy. So these are the reasons why they're happy. Nothing wrong with that. But I am going to ask you, are you happy? Thank you. Today I asked an elder this morning, are you happy? And he says, yes. In fact, whenever I see this pastor on Sunday, he's always smiling. And look at his face, there was no, the face, you know, the muscle was very peaceful. It's not like the kind of sambui, you know, all tight. It's peaceful and smiling. Elder, why are you smiling? Why are you happy? And they're always smiling, I said. And he said, I'm happy. And then I said, why? And straight away he answered, because of hope. I have this hope. And I was so glad. He said, this lively hope, I said, this living hope you have. He said, because I have this hope. What about you? Are you happy? As I seated there, I was looking at you all. Are you all tired? Your shoulders all weighed down. Are you happy? Now I see you, I was asking this question, some of you are smiling, And this gentleman here said, yes, you all should be. After weeks, in fact, I do not know what you spent yesterday. Yesterday you have a long night, this morning you come here, surely you are. All the soldiers drop you. Even that, you should be happy. You should be smiling. Your eyes should be sparkling and ready. But in this sin-cursed world, bad things always happen, right? And when bad things happen, like sickness or adversities or even hardship or even the loss of your jobs, the prospect also, are you still happy? These things can happen. The point is that, will you still be happy? This is the question. And somehow, being human, sometimes we are not. And if you are Christians, why not? Why not? And sometimes we are not happy because, not only because of all these things, but because we are putting, the reason why, because we are putting our trust in very shaky and insecure things. It's very true. In other words, we misplace our trust in things that are not secure. Probably many of us, like the people in the world, place their trust in good jobs, in having a big fat bank account and better prospects, and then even in good health and strength. They have good health as long as they can eat. What goes in must also go out. They keep that very good, healthy, and they can sleep. They are happy. But that also you cannot guarantee. Because as you grow old, aches and pains sets in. And then when that sets in, how? Why am I like this? And so sometimes we are Christians are also susceptible to all these things. And we become sad, become worried, we are perplexed and being confused. We are children of God. God is supposed to take care of us. And I pray and pray, and then God doesn't seem to heal me straight away. And look at the Bible, He healed. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, He healed every sick person that came to Him, who came to Him, and straight immediately He healed them. Why aren't you healing me now? And we become perplexed and confused. How can we be happy? And in this passage here, this letter that Peter wrote, he wrote to Christians here who are scattered all over Asia Minor. And if you study this, you know that the Christians in those days were being persecuted. And why Peter wrote this? Because he knew that they were persecuted. You will find that in verse 6 there, he mentions about the manifold temptations they were under, trials, testing of their faith. So they were suffering. And so Peter wrote this in order to encourage them. And I believe with all my heart that Peter is the most qualified person to speak. For at one time, he also had that kind of hope. The hope that the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he confessed, is the Messiah. And he hoped that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is going to topple the Roman government and set up his kingdom, the kingdom of God on earth. And when Jesus Christ says, no, I'm going to Jerusalem to be killed, to die, and then on the third day rose again, Peter straight away did not hear the rising up again. It's about death, and said, no, you should not go. And Jesus Christ has to rebuke him. And when Christ was arrested and crucified, Peter ran away. Peter was far away, following him, and denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. Denied him three times. So he knows what is to be tempted, you know. He knows what is suffering. He knows that that joy that has been, at first he was very happy placing his life on the Lord Jesus Christ, but not knowing the full truth. And so when Jesus Christ did not live up to his expectation, he ran away. And Christ, when Christ, as he has promised, resurrected, as he said, he rose again from the dead, appeared to him, and Peter was away. In fact, he gave up, and then he repented, of course, as he looked back into his life, denying the Lord Jesus Christ, he repented. And then when Christ rose again from the dead, brought him, reconciled him, brought him back again. And Peter said, yes, I love you. Three times Christ asked him, do you love me? He said, yes, I love you. Then you feed my flock. Yes. And Peter became a changed person. Now he realized, he see, he became a changed person. And he goes around and preached the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also now he understood that when Christ come back, then he will set up the kingdom. Now he has a full truth. And he knows of that living hope that he has. And because of that, he is more qualified to writing to Christians who have been persecuted. In fact, more qualified, relevant to us, because we live in this sin-cursed world. And we, many times, we are faced with the same problem. Problems that confuse us. Why are we in this kind of situation? How to be happy again? How can I be happy when all these things happen? I'm sick. I'm afflicted with a terminal disease. How can I be happy? I lose my job. Who is going to take care of my children? And then all the trouble, people say bad things about me here and there. In any case, well, I'm a teacher in FEBC. And now FEBC is going to be evicted. Already ultimatum given to us. Get out of your birthplace by 30th of June. I'm sad. Sad for the students. Sad for all. For the word of God. How can I be happy? Peter is going to tell us. Peter is going to tell us. He, in his passage we have just read, he chose the only greatest thing of all the things that we have been taught here in the Word of God. He chose the most important, that if we can know this and remember this, we can always be happy. We can always rejoice in our life. In spite of all these things, in the midst of all these bad things that happen to us, in the midst of all these persecutions and adversities, Peter says, we can still rejoice. Not only rejoice, but rejoice greatly. Wow. He is qualified. So let us look at it. What did he say? Alright, first of all, Peter says to us, reminds us, believers, that we are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. The first thing that Peter wrote to all those people, you are the elect according to the foreknowledge. The foreknowledge of God is the foreloving grace of God. Even before the foundations of the world. And God knew you. God loved you with a special love. And His grace was upon you. So this divine election makes all of us here no longer of the world while we are still in the world. But we are taken out of it. We belong now to God. God has elected us, or Christians chose them to become aliens, no, in the world. While you are still in the world, you are not of the world. You are taken up, you are aliens. But what actually is the full implication of behind this doctrine of election by God the Father? What is it? Let us start from the very beginning. Given the freedom for all of us to choose between loving God, obeying Him, and loving ourselves and doing the things that we want, or obeying others, we will always disobey Him. Not what I said, but God said. Adam, our first man, was tested. He was given the choice. God made everything perfect. He was given the choice to obey or disobey. And he hurt somebody else. He hurt Satan. And he disobeyed God. Although God just gave him one commandment. He disobeyed God. It's very true of all of us. Because Paul himself said, in God's word, God said, for all have sinned and come short. All have sinned. There is none righteous. There is none that understand God. There is none that seek God. True of you? True or not? Yes, before we become Christians, it's very true of every one of us. And what is it? And what is sin? Because we are, all of us have sinned. Everyone has sinned. What is the penalty of sin? God being the righteous God, God says, if you sin, you shall surely die. And that death is not only the physical death, but the spiritual death, and then the final death that is to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, to be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. That is the death that God says. You sin against me, you shall surely, that means no escape, death. In other words, if we are still in our sin, if we die in our sin, we have not received Christ, if we die in our sin as not a believer, we will be cast into the lake of fire, tormented forever and ever and ever and ever. No escape, surely. I didn't say this. I only just say what God would say. Go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. You can find. Go to Genesis chapter 3, the first book, where God says, you sin, you shall surely die. In other words, none on this earth, none will seek God. All are condemned. Yet God, in His grace and mercy and love, chosen, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the foreloving grace of God, God chose those who were scattered around Asia Minor. And I can, in application to us, God chose you. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God chose you. He not chose you to save you, deliver you from that death. Chose you. How is this stated here? Now look at it, that verse very quiet. Chose you through sanctification of the Spirit, and then unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit convicts you, cause you to repent, cause you to be separated from the world, cause you to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, unto the obedience, yes. that you repent of your sins and you accept that the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, dying on the cross with the Son of God, He died for my sin. You believe that. The sprinkling of the blood here mentions with regard to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by believing in Him. And you are cleansed forever. God chose you. He could have chosen everybody, but He did not choose everyone. He just chose some. For everyone all deserve to die. All of us deserve to die. Because they sin against Him. But in His love, He only chose some. And if you are a sincere believer in Jesus Christ, He chose you. And what is that salvation? Chose you from what? Chose you to be taken out, delivered from that hellfire, you know, and to be His begotten children, born again, adopted sons and daughters of God. In other words, you and I have a filial relationship with God. God is now your and my Heavenly Father, and we are His adopted children. That wonderful relationship between children and father. That is election. So this fact itself, this truth itself, should really cause you and me to be grateful, to be happy, to be delivered from what? Hellfire, suffer forever, to be delivered from them, that when I die, when you die, you'll be with Jesus Christ in paradise. As Christ said, promised to the dying thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. As Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. As Paul says, when he went, yes, he was taken up to see paradise. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, he was taken up into paradise. And then when he came up, he came down. And then what did Paul say? Absent from the body and present with the Lord is far better. So in other words, Paul, having seen that, he said, I don't want to come back. I want to remain there. But God says, no, you have to go back. And then Paul says that, yes, it's needful for him to be here on earth because he has other ministry. So I want to impress upon you, I think I am impressed by the fact that, by this truth, that I have been delivered from this. Not because of anything that is good about me, but plainly by the mercy of God, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and I was taken out. Wow, when I know that when I die, I will be with Him and not be cast into the lake of fire, I have no more escape. And those who die in their sins, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, will have no escape but be there. And one day you and I, when we realize the truth, when we are in heaven, we see everything that is true, and then realizing that those who have rejected Christ, some maybe you are our friends and are suffering forever there, and you are in paradise forever, how do you feel? Yeah, of course, God in the end will wipe away all our tears. But on the other side of it, you'll be so grateful to God. I believe you will go on your knees and forever and ever and ever and ever and praise God and glorify Him. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, too. So this is the first thing. Peter says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, having said that, what did Peter say? Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. In other words, in your life, you are to all those who are scattered in the Asia Minor and the Christians who have been persecuted there, they are suffering. And also to us, Peter said, grace. And grace meaning the provision that God the provisions of grace. God will provide grace to us in time of need. Every time you are in need, to all those who were scattered there, God's grace is always upon them. And so Paul, in fact, the writer of Hebrews said, we can always approach God for grace in time of need. God will give you grace. So wonderful, you see. You go through this kind of sufferings, God will give you the grace to go through. In other words, the suffering part is acknowledged by God. It's acknowledged. Your faith in God acknowledges, accept the truth, the fact that while we are still on this sin-cursed world, we will suffer. There will be testings, there will be temptations, there will be trials. And God will give us the grace to go through it. If you are a Christian, there's God's grace for you and me. And then what? It says here, peace be multiplied. That means the experience of peace in your heart. That deep-seated peace that in spite of all these problems and troubles in this world and the ones that affect us personally, you still will have that peace. God promised all that. Because, and you are elect. You are a Christian. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have that. Do you know? And if you know this, you should be happy. Inside. That's why Peter said later that you should rejoice. And not only rejoice, greatly rejoice. Let's go further down in verse 3. Blessed be the God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having known this election and know what it means, we should bless God. And the idea of blessing God is to speak well of Him. That's the meaning. To bless God means to speak well of Him. How wonderful is our God. How many times when we pray, we should always bless God and acknowledge that He is wonderful. You must. Often if we do that, we recognize this first and bless God first, I believe with all my heart that we will be happy. The whole trouble, all of us, every time when we go to God, instead of blessing Him first, we don't bless at all, in fact. We never acknowledge His goodness towards us. We always start with what? With a whole list of, I want this, I want that, I need this, I need that, will you please help me this, and find this, everything. And then we expect everything to be instant. Nowadays is the instant world. Everything is instant. And when we don't get it, we say, why? As if God is deaf, we have to tell so many things. No, our God is almighty. Even you ask, before you ask, He knows your need. He knows. He's going to give you grace to go through everything. Difficulties. And in good times, of course, we should always, always bless the Lord, even in good times. So blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us. You see, have adopted us, have made us, we are born again into His family. We become His children. Begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in addition to this elect, he adds with. Here Peter adds one thing. Begotten us unto a lively hope, a living hope. What is this living hope? And this living hope means that by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this living hope, the hope that we are not going to be cast into the lake of fire, the hope that we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ and God in paradise. And then in the prophecy of the Word of God, we will be in the Millennium Kingdom, where Christ will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And after that, the destruction by fire of this earth and this heaven, and God is going to create a new heaven and new earth, and you and I will be there, and there will be no more death, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, and God will be with us, will dwell with us and be with Him forever and ever and ever. That hope is lively, is living. It is true. He will not fade away. It is true. Why? By the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is important. If Christ had not risen from the dead, then all these hope are useless. Then all this hope will be like our hope here on this earth. I hope that I can have a good job and that I will have enough money not only to spend, live comfortably on this earth, but able to save some for my old age. And in my old age now, I can give to my grandchildren. I hope I will have many grandchildren, whether sons or daughters, I'll give them and make them happy. And I can go with my wife for many trips abroad and enjoy to Hawaii, to Fiji, to the Caledonians, or anywhere so wonderful by the sea. Oh, see the blue sea and everything. Enjoy all those things. And also, my children, when they grow up, they will love me, take me out for this makan, that makan, or this type dinner. Wonderful. I hope I will have that kind of life. Well, if it will come through, okay. But that kind you only hope will be a lively hope. Will be a living hope. It's a hope of hopelessness. He will not. Sometimes the whole thing can turn the other way around. No. But our hope to be delivered from hellfire and be with Jesus Christ forever, and that prospect is lively, is living. Why? By the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fact, is a truth. Remember that, my fellow brethren. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a truth, a fact. It is not our imagination. It's already proven. Paul himself made that argument very clearly to the Corinthian Christians who do not believe, some of them. And Paul says that you cannot, because this is a fact. And Paul gave all the evidences there. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fact. It's because of his resurrection that your hope and my hope, the hope that Peter mentioned here, is living, sustainable. Not fat hope. Living hope. Factual hope. Not fat hope. Factual hope. Living word. Alright? Poor. Are you not happy? This should make you happy. If you are a Christian, you should be smiling. Inside. You should be. Or are you sounding thinking? Are you sure? Oh yeah? Oh yeah? That's what Satan puts in your mind. If you are thinking, oh yeah, so you better say, Satan, get thee behind me. You should be now saying in your heart, praise the Lord. God, thank you. I bless your name. If you are a Christian, truly believe. Look at this further. In addition to this, what Peter says, from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, wow. Not only elect and also delivered, also an inheritance. That hope is true to an inheritance. So in other words, you and I are going to have inheritance. An inheritance is something that you do not earn. It's something that is given to you, conferred to you. Correct? If my father, who is rich on this earth, and he dies, and if I am a good child, very obedient to him, wow. The will is open, the loyalty open. Stephen Koo, you get $2 million. Do I have to work for it? Nothing. I just only be a filial child. which means I can not be one. And because of that. And sometimes if I'm not filial also, maybe cancel 1 million. Say, all right, Stephen Koo, you're not a good son, but anyway, 1 million. I don't have to work for it. It's conferred on me. And here God the Father confers on every one of us an inheritance. What kind of inheritance? That's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. All these are very simple terms. Yeah, simple English. Cannot be spoiled, cannot be corrupt. It forever remains as it is. And it will not fade away. And God reserve it, God reserve it, you know, for you. Wow. So understand, this is wonderful. So you think that you're going up, you get nothing? No. It's all reserved for you. What is it? Peter didn't say. Even Paul cannot say. Paul went up to paradise. He couldn't. He said, I cannot. Words cannot speak. And Peter never say here. Only Peter had to describe in a negative way. But what is it? It's not revealed to us. In fact, yes, it is not revealed to us. But it is there. It is true. And Paul has gone up and Paul says that I cannot tell you what it is. In fact, Paul himself says that even the suffering on this earth cannot be compared with the glories that is in store for us. All right. So the third, this third thing, inheritance, that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved for you. You are the elect, reserved for you. There is in heaven. This third fact must make us very happy. Indeed, it is very precious. Can I be sure that I will inherit these things and I will have all these things, this grace and this mercy? Can I? This peace? Look at what Peter says next. Who are kept for you? Inheritance for you. You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You are kept by the power of God. You become a Christian and God is going to protect you, preserve you, protect you, preserve you, so that you will, in the end, inherit all these things. In other words, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not deny it. If you are truly a born-again Christian, you will persevere on, you will carry on in spite of all the difficulties. You will remain faithful to God. Even in this kind of circumstances, bad circumstances, and people say, you still believe in God? You better curse him and die. And that's what Job's wife told him. You still believe? You better curse him. Curse God and die. Yet, Job says what? Blessed be the name of the God he has given, is taken. Blessed be his name. Naked I come, naked I go. And if I go through all this suffering, this testings, all, if I go through, I will come out as gold, as precious, refined gold. Refined regard to his spiritual life, not regard to actual gold. You see, you will be protected and preserved. How wonderful. And so a true Christian, in spite of all the problem, will never say, oh, once I believe in Christ, but now I am smarter. I heard someone said that, one minister of Singapore government long time ago, when someone told him, hey, I understand last time you're very churchy. Churchy. Yeah. Now I am wiser. I'm cleverer. And he denying the Lord Jesus Christ. That person, I can say from his very own words that he's not a Christian. Then in the first place, he has never become a true Christian. Professing to be a Christian. And this is where the Lord Jesus turned around and said, I know you not. Lord, how can you know me not? I even profess your name. I even perform miracles. I know you not, you workers of iniquity. Christ said that. And this person, even before he meets the Lord Jesus Christ, professing his Christian, he already on earth said, one time he was churchy, now he was no more. He is not a truly born again Christian. So if you are truly, you are, you face this problem, God is there, says here, kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation. In other words, through faith. And what kind of faith? The kind of faith that is exhibited by Abraham. God told Abraham, you're going to have your own son of your own body. How can I? Now I'm already so old. And my wife also passed already childbearing. How can we have? Impossible. Yet, Abraham what? Believe. That is the faith. And so if you have to go through all these tribulations and troubles, and you still have that faith, I believe then, I will. God is going to give me grace, going to have peace in this heart. I'm going to have this inheritance. I'm going to be taken out, delivered from that. All these things, this lively hope that I have, all will come through in spite of all the problems that I have on this earth that is adverse against me. I still believe. And you are kept by the power, you will say that I still believe. That is the kind of faith. Will God help me? Yes, God will help me. Will God deliver me? Yes, God will deliver me. Will I be have peace in my heart? Yes. Will God give you grace? Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. That's my faith. That's your faith. You must have that kind of faith. Having said all these things, Peter said, verse 6, wherein, the word wherein meaning that you have all these. These are the important things that Peter has taken out and tells. Wherein you are in this status, your spiritual status is in this. He has just described for us, elect, chosen, you have this peace, this lively hope, this inheritance. Wherein you are in this, Peter says what? You greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, the word if need be, that means God ordained, God allowed this test to come to you, be you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. Why am of gold? Because gold refine it. It is gold, very shining by itself. It stays there by itself. But your faith, when it's refined, is alive. It moves. And when you exercise that faith in God, things move. When you exercise that faith in God, grace comes. Peace comes. That living faith you have, that faith is alive. Not like gold. You go, you refine it, it remains by itself. And in the end will perish. But your faith, when it's tested and refined, is alive. The faith that, yes, God, I believe in you. And when you pray, and God, you believe it, you will get that grace, that peace. And your faith is true. And you live it that way, like what Abraham did. So when the day you come, when Christ comes back, or the day you go up with him, you die and be with him, you'll be so happy that the way you live on this earth, in faith, by faith, through faith, for his glory and for his honor, you are happy. Because I think some of us will go up there and say, Lord, having seen everything through, and tell God, God, send me back now. Send me back. I want to go back. Please give me. Let me 1 more, 2, 3, 4, 5 years more to go back and then do everything. I'll change my life. No, you see already. No more by faith. You must come. Only God allow Paul to do that, and through his testimony we must by faith. Okay? Alright, so now we carry on here, and so he says, for a season means what? It's only a short time. It will come to an end. I wonder how many of us suffer for for the rest of our life, 70 years suffering on this earth? Anyone? No. If we are a Christian, sometimes we suffer after 10 years and so much suffering, and God in His mercy take you home to be with Him. And then when you are there, wow, wonderful. And so death on this earth become a blessing to that person. But yet many of us have gone through tribulations, and you know, this for a short time, for a while only, and then after that it's all over. And God will see to it, it's all over, and you have become strengthened. So Peter says here, this trial is only for a season, for a while, for a season. It's going to last forever. And then you are made ready in the last time to be revealed. You are going to be, God is going to show you, you are the sons of God, all going to be true, going to be revealed at the last time. And this last time is the time on this earth when the system of this world is going to end. That means by the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we all stand before Him, you will be revealed that you are a true son of God, true child of God. You are the elect, and you will be delivered from hellfire and all these things that God has promised you, His inheritance, which is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. How wonderful. The question now is, how? Are you unhappy? Yeah, some of we are so overwhelmed, shocked, got no more. You can't say anything. After your shock, you just be smiling. From ear to ear. Inside. If you are not smiling, I hope it's in your heart. You have joy. It's a deep-seated joy in your heart. And there is peace. It's good to be a Christian. Question is, after that, what do we do? Grateful, bless the name of God. And here on this earth, as He blesses you in everything, then give your life. Paul said, in view of all these things, give your life a living sacrifice. You have only one life. Not that the cat has nine lives, people say. But you only have one life, one. 70 and 10 plus 10. And let us use that life well, for the glory of God. And that life, out of that 70 and 10, the most important part of your life is from 30 years onwards, sir. Up to maybe 55, 60. And after that, or maybe the rest of that life, from 30 years onwards. Give your life. Offer your life. Only one life. Let it be given to God for His glory. And that others also may come to believe. That in spite of all the tribulation, adversities on this earth, you can ride over this. You are above it. And people can see. What is the secret? And that is the time you tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then you, who knows, you might lead that person. The Holy Spirit might work in the person's heart, like He has worked in your heart. Sanctify him, separate him, convict him, move him. He will repent and receive Christ as his Savior and becomes a child of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Father, that this, your word, Lord, having read it, planted in our hearts, Lord, in our hearts, that you may produce the fruit that is intended. Oh, strengthen us and encourage us to love you, bless you, praise you, and honor you and glorify you, not only with our lips, Lord, but with our life. Be offered to you as a living sacrifice. We thank you. We pray, Father, for those who have not yet believed in Jesus Christ. We pray for them that this morning too they can become your child. Have mercy on them. We pray, Father, for those who are not sure of their salvation. This morning, Lord, they may make it sure. All this we pray and ask in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.